Coming up today, Pastor Ray Bentley explains why we owe the Lord our praise.
How do you repay Jesus for dying for you, for shedding his blood? The answer is you can't. But there's one thing we can do. He goes, you can never pay for your sins, but you do owe me a debt of thanks, a debt of worship, a debt of singing to me that you appreciate how much I love you. We can praise him.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Praise and thanksgiving are a part of our spiritual heritage, and they'll be a part of our future. And today, Pastor Ray points out the part worship played in the time of Moses. After a great deliverance, God's people praise the Lord for his providence. It's good inspiration for the times of deliverance in our lives.
Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. And we've now come to kind of the celebration time. It's called the Song of Moses. So, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." Now, you know the Hebrew word for our salvation is Yeshua. So he has become my Jesus, is what they were saying. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. Now, hold that in your minds. But I want to read down to verse 10 and then come back to that. "The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble, and with the blast of your nostrils." See how they personify the acts of God's greatness, glory, and power. "Like the breath of your nostrils," they said, "the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters." When you hear the sound of the enemy, a discordant note, we might say, it's all about I. I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide. I will draw. My desire will be satisfied. Well, as Moses continues singing this song in verse 11, he now just starts extolling the character of God. He says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods?" Contrast that with the book of Revelation that says in the last days, a man will stand as the Antichrist or the instead of Christ. And what are the world saying? Who is like the beast? Now, they're not going to literally be saying the beast, but whoever this character is, who is like him? Well, he's a false god. But here's the truth. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You and your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. See how much they spoke of his holiness. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. And then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. Okay, stop there in verse 16. Underline that phrase. The people whom you have purchased. Moses is prophesying to this brand new nation their new identity. You are purchased by God. You are the redeemed of the Lord. In other words, you are set free from your 400 years of slavery, but that freedom came at a price. It came at a cost, and the price has been paid. But because of that price has been paid, and because you were redeemed, you are God's purchased possession. Now, may I say to you that what was true of Israel then is now true today of the church. We have been redeemed from every nation, every language, every kindred, and every tribe, all around the earth. And we are owned because God made us and created us in his own image. But that was broken because of sin. So then he came and he paid for us. He redeemed our salvation. He paid for our sins, and the price was his blood. The blood of the Son of God, the blood of the Lamb. And because we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, it means you are the purchased people of the Lord. You are precious to God. He loves you, and he owns you in that sense, in a very personal way, and has chosen us, the church, to be the bride of his eternal Son, who, after having paid the price, rose from the dead. And now he's preparing a bride for her. It's a wonderful and marvelous thing, the character of God, this new identity. Now, if we are the purchase of the Lord, what does it mean? It means we owe a debt to God. Have you often thought of that? You owe God a debt. How do you repay Jesus for dying for you, for shedding his blood? The answer is you can't. We can't. And for eternity, we can't. But there's one thing we can do. And he takes this as kind of the debt. He goes, you can never pay for your sins, but you do owe me a debt of thanks, a debt of worship, a debt of singing to me that you appreciate how much I love you and what I spent to have you and set up my kingdom to share it with you. You owe me a debt. Do you love me? Do you thank me? Do you praise me? And it means something to him. And your note, when you sing it and praise him and worship him, he hears your note and he can single it out from all the rest of creation and the earth. And when you don't sing it and you're not in tune with him and you're not walking with him, he misses it and draws it and desires it to come back out. We can praise him. And this was, now, it talks about how this will echo. Moses is prophesying, and what he said was true. The echo, the reverberation of this event spread quickly all throughout Mesopotamia. And it went all immediately to the land of Canaan. Now, look, we know they're going to be marching for 40 years before they even land at the place called Jericho, the first city in Canaan of conquest. But by the time they get there, they discover that the people in Jericho, let alone all the people of Canaan, have already heard about the God of Moses and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they fear him because there's no God. He wiped out all the gods of Egypt. What will our little gods do in comparison to him? Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 13 describes the people paralyzed with fear because of all that they had heard about the Lord. Now, it was a good kind of fear because eventually God wanted to redeem and save those who lived in Jericho, let alone the Canaanites, some of whom would become part of God's glorious family. So, it's beautiful. Now, verse 17, it says, you will bring them in.